In Parshas Chayisara, the story, the episode of Eliezer Eved Avram, who sent on a mission back to the birthplace of Avram to find a wife for Yitzchak, and the pasuk in Perek Chav Dalid, pasuk Yud, Vayikacha Eved Asara Gmalim Migmali Adonov Vayelech V'chol tuv Adonav biyada. V'yokom v'yelech el aram na'rayim el ir nachar. So the question for today's discussion is going to be, what is the significance of gmalim? The gomel, the camel, appears over and over again throughout this parasha. Why asar gmalim? Why does the Torah emphasize v'chol tuv Adonav biyada? What is the symbolism of a gomel? We know that a gomel is unique in that it has one of the simone tara, but not the other. We know that in Chazal, gomel is considered something that if you see it in a dream, it's a very positive thing. We'll see that soon in Mirtz Hashem. We also know that gomel is something that for David HaMelech plays an important role. Later on in the parasha, we're going to have in Perek Chav Dalet, but this time, Pasuk Samach Aleph, Vatokom Rivka v'Narosel v'Terchavna l'Gmalim. Once again, Rivka now is on the Gmalim, with, together with her maidservants. What's the significance of the Gmalim? One of the themes I'd like to discuss today, which is a general question that touches on our lives in many different ways, is how should man relate to his inclinations, his passions that tempt him and threaten to take him off the right path to sin? Should it be one of absolute care, meticulous care? Should one go to the other extreme to be careful? Or can one assess his own situation, his own spiritual development and his level, and based on that, he should make his decision? I would also like to touch on the role of Gmilus Chasodim, especially when we talk about Avram Avinu, and now in this parasha we're moving on to the transition to Yitzchak. Last year we spoke about Rivka and Yitzchak as a combination of Chesed, Rivka's Chesed, Hamida, Yitzchak's Midav Din, or Gvura. What is the role of Chesed? It plays such an important role, it has such an important position in this week's parasha in terms of the Chesed of Rivka. And what's the connection between Gemilus Chasodim, which is spelled with a Gimel, a Mem, and a Lamed, and Gomel, which is a Gimel, Mem, Lamed? All these questions, I think, can be addressed in the context of the Ramban. The Ramban is very well known. On the Pasuk, again, we're here in Perek Chav Dalet, but in this case, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayovo ha'ish ha'baisa vayafatach ha'gmalim. Rashi says that when Eliezer Eved Avram entered into the house of Besuel, he removed the zmama, the bit that was on the animal's mouth to cover the animal. And Rashi explains that the reason why the camel's mouths had to be closed, Rashi says, Hoya Avram sosem pihem shelo yiru, with an ayin lo yiru besado sachirim. In other words, there was a fear that without the zmama over the camel's mouths, the camels might graze and pasture from the fields of others, and that would be a violation, of course, of gzela. The Ramban doesn't understand, how is it possible that Avram had to be afraid that his camels might be responsible for gzela, and therefore, as Rashi says, they needed to be zomum, there had to be a zmoma around their mouths. He says, lo Lo hayu gmalav shal Avraham Avinu dovim lechamoro shal Pinchas ben Yair. And he refers to the sugya in Chulin that says that the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair would not even dream of eating from Dmai. And the Gemara establishes a rule that Takola doesn't come through Behemtom Shal Tzadikim. So in defense of Rashi, from the perspective of the Ramban, as we said, there's no reason, there's no need or cause for Avram to be concerned, to be choshesh, to be worried about the possibility of the animals eating from other people's fields, and therefore there was no need for Zmama. But yet from Rashi's perspective, we could look at Avram in a different way. And this you'll find in the Bar Tanura, the Rav on Torah. In order to defend Rashi, he writes that the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair was poresh mina iser atzmo, because that chamor was designated exclusively for the use of the tzaddik of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. No one else would ride that chamor, and that's called behemtam shel tzaddikim. But these gmalim, which were designated for carrying a masa, for carrying burdens, it was not necessarily designated exclusively for Avram, but perhaps it was used for various different purposes, as we said, to carry burdens. Occasionally, maybe Avram would ride such a camel, but it wasn't miyuchad or mezuman for Avram Avinu. And therefore, excuse me, it doesn't come under the halacha of behemtam shel tzaddikim. However, the Bali Musar would see in this interpretation of Rashi and the action of Avram to be zomem his gmalim a fundamental principle in Musar that teaches us how to live our lives. And they base themselves primarily on a pasuk and a Rashi back in Lech Lecha, in Perek Yudalid, pasuk Chav Beis, Vayomar Avram El Melech Sdom Harimosi Yodi El Hashem. In that particular encounter, in that episode, there was a question as to whether Avram, having won the battle against the kings, would take for himself possessions which rightfully, legally, he could take. For sure, he won the war, he won the battle, he could make a kinyan and take for himself. But Avram Avinu was very machmir. He went to an extreme. He didn't want the Melech's dome to be able to say, oh, ani asharti es Avram. Avram didn't want to have any benefits from the booty, from the spoils of war. Harimosi es yodi, says Rashi Loshan Shvua, Meirim ani es yodi l'kel elyon. Avram Avinu takes upon himself an oath, the substance of which is that he will not enjoy the benefit of the possessions that, again, as we said before, legally he could have. The Ramban, on the same pasuk, back in Perek Yudalit, says, V'chein matzasi b'sifri. He supports this position of Rashi, but he adds a Sifri, very important principle in the Sifri. Matzinu b'chol ha-tzadikim shemashbim es yitzram shelo lasos. Even a tzadik, the likes of Avram, will still take a shvua, an oath, to guard himself and protect himself, that he shouldn't do something that he doesn't want to do. The Avram who Omer, the Sifri proves from this pasuk, Harimosi es yodi l'kel chai, this is the source for the position and the limud, the musa that we have to take, that even a tzaddik has to take all the precautions. He should not rely on himself. Mikano Yerav Yoshia Omer Tzorech Odom Lashbia Es Yitzro Shekena Tomotzi B'chol Atzadikim Shemashbiyam Es Yitzro. So we find this over and over again. It's a pattern that the tzaddikim are teaching us, do what you have to do. You might say, wait a minute, what's the shaychus here? What's the hava mean? There's no possibility, no likelihood whatsoever that a tzaddik would be tempted by such a thing, to take money that he shouldn't take according to his understanding. And Rabbi Yerucham, the famous mashkiach, says that based on this Ramban, which is in turn based on Rashi, the Sifri that came before them, and this principle of tzaddikim hashbiyim es yitzro, we could really explain Rashi in the parasha of the Gemalim. Why was it, as we asked, that Avram took this extra precaution and he made sure that there was no possibility that the camels, he muzzled the camels to make sure that guarantee that they wouldn't eat from other people's pasture? But the Ramban Lachor at the face of it is right. Why would he have to do such a thing? The answer is that Avram Avinu is not going to be somech. He's not going to rely on any sort of natural course of events, and therefore chasam es piem, he muzzled the mouths of these camels. Avram, with regard to himself and his own behavior, vizvi atzmo, he was muzzling himself by taking a shmuah. And therefore, how much more so, he should do that for his animals. He should muzzle them. And Rabbi Yerucham writes the following. He says, Hayeshlanu tzirad kamalo haya kesef nechshavlo liavram lemu'uma. We have no understanding, no concept of how money was totally meaningless to Avram Avinu. And yet, he takes a shvua, harimosius yadi, lohem in Avram biatzmo, chashed es atzmo, pen lo yuchal lichvosh es yitzro. If the Eitzahara, if the inclination will come and tempt him, well, take a little money. With all sorts of explanations and justifications, Avram Avinu wanted to be absolutely certain, to guarantee that he would not fall prey to the Eitzahara. And therefore he was choshed himself. And if he's choshed himself, how much more so should he be choshed his animals? And this is a tremendous limit for us. How much a person, no matter what Milo, what Darga he's at, but nevertheless, no one could guarantee him. He's still called an Adam, and as long as he's mortal man, he is subject to the influences of all sorts of powerful forces that work on him. Even if in his heart he's totally dedicated to the service of Hashem, but nevertheless, he's bound in his body to different inclinations and different powers and forces. And Rabbi Yerucham in his Musa Shmuz quotes the Chovas HaLevavos, who says the following. He says, Kol Oyev, any enemy, k'shtenatzeach oso pam oshtayim, yarif memenu. If you defeat an enemy once and twice, the enemy finally gets the message. He doesn't entertain the possibility of coming back to fight you. He realizes that he's going to be overwhelmed, overpowered, and destroyed. He realizes, he appreciates that you have more of a koch than he does. And therefore he despairs, meaning tzolchoscha. That's your natural enemy. Your flesh and blood enemy. Aval, he says, Hayetzer, but when it comes to the evil inclination, ain't no maspik lo mima mimchosh and itzuach pam or afilu mea pam. It matters not to the mind of the Yetzirah and his activities whether he's been defeated once, twice, or even 100 times. He's going to come back and he's going to haunt you. He's constant, he's dedicated to his task to try to trip you up. Ki im yinatzecho scho yamisecho. And he says to himself, look, it's worth an effort. If I win this battle, I'm gonna bring down this person, he's gonna die, physically or spiritually. And that's what Chazal mean when they say Al Tam and Biatzmacha Ad Yom Moscha. And the message is clear that even though the Yetzer was defeated by you, even if you're in a Madrega where the Yetzer doesn't really seem to tempt you, it doesn't have a shot, the Yetzer should understand that he's been defeated. No. The Yetzer will try to find that one opportunity when he'll be successful. Because for him, from the Yetzirah's perspective, whether he's successful on the first try or on the 100th try, it's irrelevant. He's going to be a masmid, he's going to be dedicated to his cause. If he catches you once, and you're unarmed, and you won't be able to fight him off, and defeat him and overcome him, then he is successful. That's what he's out to do. That's his goal. And he will be continuously, perpetually active in pursuing that goal. So we now have two different answers to explain Rashi and defend him against the Ramban's attack. The Gemalim, says Rashi, of Avraham Avinu had to be muzzled. Whether it's because of the Ra'av's understanding that Gemalim served multi-purposes, they weren't designated exclusively for Avram's riding, and therefore they didn't have that shame of Behemtam, that category of status of Behemtam Shel Tzadikim, or, not a technical answer, but something very fundamental about Avraham Avinu, and his teaching, his legacy, that we have to follow in his footsteps and understand that Mashbiyim es Tzadikim, Mashbiyim es Yitzhak. Don't take any chances. Don't rely on your greatness. Shlomo Melech, we know, fell. He thought he was above the Eitz Hara in those in Yonin. We can never be absolutely sure. So that, my friends, is lesson number one that we learn from the parasha of Gemalim here in the episode of Eliezer. And now I want to move on to another dimension. I have here in front of me the Sukkot Shavuos Sefer Shem Yishmuel on Breishis. It's in two volumes. This is the first volume. And on page Reish Ches, on this very pasuk that we began with, Vayikach Ha'eved Asara Gmalim, he says the following. Kama Pa'omim Nizkar B'Parsha Gmalim. Time after time, the Torah mentions Gmalim. U'bevadai Shein Zeh Mikra Chas V'Shalom. Kilu haya mikre lo huskar ze batorah. If it wasn't significant, if it wasn't important, then this piece of information could have been omitted from the Torah. He could have taken any animal. It was all accidental. So why mention that it was a gomel? My nafkamina, says the Shem Yishmuel, im hayu gmalim o susim o chamor v'nira. And he offers the following answer. And here we're getting down to the question, as I started with, what is the symbolism of the gomel? You know, every creature on this earth has a certain inherent concept in the ideal world above. He says, based on a Medrash Rabbim Vayikra, es hagomel zu bavel. Now, if gomel is a code word for bavel, well, what is bavel a code word for? And he says, "Hinei bebavel nemaki sham bol al Hashem." In other words, bavel is miloshen bolul, which is some sort of concoction, some sort of combination. Vizeo iruv tovara. What is the nature of this combination, of this concoction, in which two elements are brought together and you cannot distinguish one from the other? That's called bolul. That's tovara. Vamagadel. Excuse me, Vamigdal Vitzalmo Shal Nebuchadnezzar, Shahoya Sham Chakuk Befiv. He goes back to the history of Bavel, of Nebuchadnezzar, and he quotes a Zohar to indicate that what Nebuchadnezzar represents is evil, which is sometimes disguised as good. Vehine gmali Avram yotzu zmumim shlo yiru besados acherim mipnei hagezel. Vegezel gamkin inyon eruv ki kol mamono shel adam shayach dafka elov. If I steal from you or you from me, it means that there's an erbuvio, there's some sort of mixture here, some sort of confusion, some sort of a chalent, that we don't identify exactly where the gvul is, where's the boundary, what's yours and what's mine. So Avraham Avinu is going to attack that irbuvio, that mixture, make sure and guarantee that there's no gezel, and therefore he's zomeim the gemalim. And why is it dafka Avraham, of all the people in the Tanakh, who represents the anti, the battle against gezel, against irbuvio, against this combination in which we cannot distinguish in light and darkness between good and evil. Says the Sukkot Shavuot of Yavram, Basher Tikein Eschet Eitzadas, Iruv Tovara. Of all personalities in Tanakh, it's Dafka Avram Avinu who's going to fight against the evil. He's going to rectify that sin of Achilu Meitz Hadas. What is the Eitz Hadas? Tovara. Once Chava and Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, something changed. Now they, and we could say man became an Erbuvia, a combination, a mixture of Tov V'Rav, good and evil. And the pasuk at the beginning of Tilim, Asher Asher Isha L'Holach Batzas Rishoyim, which of these Rishoyim, Chazal says, Dor HaFloga? And who's the Ish who didn't go, who wasn't influenced and sucked into the Avera, the Chet of Dor HaFloga? This was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu represents a clear distinction, the clarity of vision. There's good and there's evil. Don't confuse the two. Lachain Yotsu Gmalov's Mumim Ipne Gezel, Hefuch Iruv Tovara. Avram Avinu wanted to guarantee that there should be no mixture of Tovara, which is represented and reflected in Gezel, and therefore it's Avram Avinu who's fighting against this Chet of Irbuvia. He, Avram, will be makpid, will be very careful, and avoid this gezel by being zomim, by muzzling his animals. Based on his Kabbalistic insights, the Shemi Shmuel answers the question as to why Eliezer, who came from the nation of Canaan, was sent. Why was he specifically designated to get Rivka out of the base Besuel and Lavan? And the answer is that taking Rivka out of her family is, in a conceptual sense, morally, a birur tov meira. It's like meleches borer. You choose and select the tov and remove it from the ra. That you're allowed to do even on Shabbos, right? Birur tov meira. Eliezer, in the ideal, in the concept of it, in abstract, insofar as he represents Canaan, is a paradigm of Irbuv Tov V'Ra. So therefore, it's a Kanani, it's the Eved Avram, Eliezer Eved Avram, who personifies the mixture of good and evil. You know, he's from that branch of Bnei Noach, of Bnei Adam, that have fallen at the sin of the Eitz Hadas into this state of Irbuvia of Tov V'Ra. He will now be the force to do the exact opposite, the counter force. We'll have to get into this a little later. And be Mavara Tov Mira, which expressed itself in the act of taking Rivka out of the base of Avram. So now we have a whole new dimension to the question of why Avram was Zomem his Gmalim. And it's more of a conceptual, symbolic approach in which Avram, who personifies the birur of Tov Mira, that's the preda to separate Tov Mira. We saw this in the past, that Avram Avinu says to Lot, he pared me many. Let's not get confused. Lot, you have your way of doing Achnasas Orchin. It's not my way. Lot, you are willing to give up your daughters. That's not my way, says Avram. And Avram has to separate himself from Lot. Rivka has to be separated from Lavan and Besuel. That act of separation, which typifies Avram's rectification, again in Kabbalistic terms, of the original Chet Hadas, of the Irbuvia of Tovara, has to be implemented by Eliezer Eved Avram, because Eliezer really personifies the Irbuvia, and that power is going to have to be utilized, and Dafka with the Gmalim Zomimim, Zmumim I should say, not Zomimim, we're not talking about Edim Zomimim here, that the Zmamas HaGmalim represents separating Tovara. It's the antithesis of Gezel, which is the Irbuvia, and this all fits into the picture of who Avram is and what he personifies. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says something which I can't understand. On this pasuk, Vayikach Ha'eved Asara Gmalim Migmali Adonav Perush Tam Kachto Asara. If you want to understand why Eliezer takes 10 Gmalim, Ki Bi'erech Gmalei Adonav Kilokeach Echad Hayu. In other words, really, one camel would have been sufficient. And we don't understand, therefore, why Avram Avinu had to take 10 camels. So, B'li Neder, we're going to try to research this Archaim further, but on this very same question, why Avram took 10 gmalim and sent them with his Eved, the Chizkuni has a very clever answer. L'harkiv aleim asor anoshim. He had to make sure that there were 10 people riding, respectively, on 10 gmalim, each one on a gmal. Why 10? What's the magic number 10? Levarech birchas erusin. Because as a result of Shluchei Av, that Besuel sends Rivka with the Shluchei Avi Abbas, with the Shluchim of the Avi Aben, in this case the Shliach is Eliezer of the Chasson, with that Shiluach is Erison, and they had to be Mavarach. Birchas Erison is actually derived from these Psukim at the end of this Perek, Ataich, Lervava, etc., that they blessed the Kala, Rivka in this case, and for Birchas Erison we need 10. And that's why there were 10 Gmalim, to correspond to the 10 riders who were there in order to facilitate the blessing of the Birchas Eiris. The Chidah quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim with a different pshat, very symbolic, and the number 10 here represents the 10 Nisyonos, the 10 tribulations that Avram faced and succeeded. And here Avram Avinu wants to guarantee Siyata Deshmaya, so he sends 10 Gmalim. The number 10 is very important because it's kind of like Zichronos, where we make Simonim and asking Hashem to remember us through these Simonim. This number 10 was a Simon. It was a code word that symbolically reminded HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Eser Nisyonos. And this is the way Avram Avinu hoped to invoke divine assistance on behalf of the project, that the Eved Avram Eliezer would find the right marriage partner for the son, for his master's son Yitzchak. And the Chidah goes a little step further. He says not only is the number 10 symbolic of the Eser Nisyonos, but the pasuk says Vayelech v'chaltuv Adonav biyado. He says, if you take the word biyado and you move around the letters just a bit, you end up with biyud. Right? So you take the dalet and the vav of biyado and you switch them around, you get biyud, which is the number 10, and that too is a remez to the asar nisyonos. Bottom line is, the asar gmalin, the gomel is being used here in a sense, specifically the number 10, of course, as a zchus, as a memory device, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would remember the number 10, which is the key number here for Avram Avinu, the Eser Nisyonos. This is all part of Avram's great effort to pray to Hashem, to invoke divine assistance, divine benevolence. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya to find a wife for Yitzchak, to find Rivka, but not only to find Rivka, but to facilitate Rivka's going through with the marriage, and the parents and the brother especially not objecting, not putting a foot in front of them and tripping it up. All this required divine assistance, and in this case, the Asar Nisyonos Shenisnasim Emafram, which is symbolically represented by the number 10 in Gmalim, is going to bring about Hashem's Rachmanus, his Chesed, and his Hashkocha Pratis, his Siyata Dishmaya, to guarantee that this marriage between Rivka and Yitzchak will take place. within this the context of this insight of Rabbeinu Ephraim, we are still curious about why the Gamal had to be chosen. I mean, maybe Avram could have sent 10 Chamorim, or 10 Shvarim, or 10 objects. Why Dafka Gmalim? What is the symbol of the Gamal? To really get down to the symbol of the Gamal, we have to quote the Gemara in Brachos Nunvavam in Beis. As you know, the Gemara at the end of Brachos deals with dreams and interpretations of dreams. Haroa Gamal b'chalom. What is the message that's conveyed by the camel when you see the camel in a dream? Says the Gemara, Misa niknes alo min hashamayim. He should know that he deserved to die. There was a divine decree in the heavenly courts about this person who dreamed the dream that he was meant to die. Vitzilu mimena. And he was saved from that Misa, which probably means that he did tshuva. Omar Rav Chama, Rav Chanina, my crow, where's the source for connecting Gamal to Misa, Niknas Olam HaShvayim, Vitzilu mimena? So he quotes the Pasuk, which is the revelation to Yaakov Avinu, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma, I will go down with you and your family to Mitzrayim, says Hashem, Vanochi Ele Gam Ale, but I would at the same time save you, I will bring you back, we will return. And Rashi on that Gemara tries to see, where does that Pasuk have any sort of connection to a Gamal? And Rashi's answer is that since the Pasuk says Gam Alo, so we have that Gimel, the Gimel is followed of course by a Mem, those are the first two letters of the word Gamal, and finally the word Ale, Ayin Lamed Hey, is written with a Lamed in the middle. We're going to have to skip over the Ayin here. Rashi says Karov Lino Trigon Shel Gamal. This Gamale is enough, in a sense, it shares enough of the word Gamal, actually all three letters of Gamal are here, but not in sequence, and that's enough to give us some sort of an asmachta, some sort of basis, or allusion to the fact that the Gamal represents the fact that man is down, right? The Ered Mitzrayma. Mitzrayim, of course, is the representation, the personification of chet, of avodah zarah, of arayas, different prohibitions that were violated by the Mitzrayim. That's their debased culture. And anochi eredim cha Mitzrayma, but anochi ele gamale. And that's the idea of the gamal. That Niknasa lo Misa, it's the Misa of exposure to Chet of Mitzrayim, but Hitzilu Mimeno, Hashem takes you up and saves you. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, he has a different Pasuk, Mehocha, Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Gam Hashem Hevir Chatasecha lo Tamus. And the thrust of this Pasuk is that Hashem has granted you, David HaMelech, forgiveness for your sin, and therefore you will not die. And once again, this reflects the concept of one who sees a Gamal b'chalom, Misa niknes alom neshamayim. He really deserves to die. His sins are severe enough that he forfeits his right to live, yet hitzilu mimeno. And through what? Through a process of tshuva, just like David HaMelech in the original, in the Pasuk that serves as the source for this principle, that Hashem hevir chatasecha, you have done genuine tshuva. David is the paradigm of tshuva, and therefore Hashem says lo tamus, you will not die. So in essence, the vision of the dream of a gamal, it has both a negative and a positive. On the one hand, it's really sending you a very scary message that misa niknesalo or lcha min hashamayim, that up in heaven they had written you down in the book of divine decrees for absolute condemnation, capital punishment, you're going to die. But the good news is, hitzilu mimenu. You should know that somehow you wiggled out of it. And that too is part of the message of the Gamal. The Gamal is coming to warn a person, to wake him up. probably did wake him up in his dream, and wake him up and tell him, look, there are life-threatening forces around you. You've got to defeat them. You've got to take a strong position here and do tshuva. And that's that tshuva and the acceptance thereof Hashem, by Hashem of tshuva is symbolically alluded to in the Gamal. Now, I have here a page with some source material from Rav Olbaum Shlita. It's a shiur that he gave 3 years ago. I wasn't at the shiur, but part of the fun in looking at his source sheet is trying to derive or evolve a theory, a thesis, which may not have been his intent when he put this source sheet together. It's really impossible to know. He quotes the Shalah Kadosh. It's a little bit later on in Parshas Toldos. And the Shalah quotes the Mekubalim that connect the Avera of Gili Arayos with a Gamal. And why is a Gamal connected to Gili Arayos? Apparently, and we have to check this out with the psychologists, with the animal psychologists, a Gamal Tsanua B'Tashmish. In the process of procreation, the Gamal is considered a tsanua, and Rashi mentions this in Parashas Vayishlach. So therefore, there's a message being sent to someone who's Ba'al al Eishes Ish. He violates Gili Arayos with a terrible sin of immorality. Mizgalgel b'Gamal. I guess he'll roll off his camel, and he'll, I don't know if he'll be killed by his camel, but probably not, because we're sending him a message. And the message is that the Gamal is Tov Vimenu, is this lowly beast, you would say, but he's greater than you, because this beast is careful about Tznius in Tashmish, and you are completely Mufkar. You violate the most serious violation of Tashmish Amita, which is Baal Eishesish. And therefore the Gamal comes and sort of stings you, throws you off. Now, the Pasuk in Tehillim also mentions Gimel Mem Lamed. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ashir Hashem Ki Gamal Aloi. Now Gamal means literally, you have bestowed upon me goodness, like we say Gemilus Chasodin. But the Shalah sees in this Pasuk Ki Gamal Aloi a symbol. Hoya Mishorer, what was the content, the substance of David's song? Why was he singing a praise to Hashem, Ashir Hashem? Shenimchalo Oso Ha'avon. He realized that Hashem had forgiven him for his sin. His tshuva was accepted by Hashem. Sheyachas v'sholom lios megalgel megulgal begomol. In truth, he, like anyone else who violated the severe avera of Gili Arayos of Eishes Ish, should have experienced this Gilgul min HaGamal. But on the contrary, Hashem was good to him and spared him. Like we saw in the Gemara Brachos, the Gamal symbolizes also Hitzilua miknisa mimisa. And that's the remez that David HaMelech expresses in Ashir Hashem Ki Gamal Aloi. Gamal Aloi has a double meaning. It's a double entendre. On the one hand, it means the Gamal who throws off his rider when his rider is guilty of Gili Arayos, but it's also that Gamal who conveys the optimism, the hope that Hashem has forgiven a person. When David HaMelech sings Ashir Hashem Ki Gamal Aloi, God has bestowed upon me the goodness of Mechila, and He has therefore spared me from death. I will not be thrown off my camel. Ki Gamal Aloi, the Gamal is the Gemilus Chasodim of Hashem, of having accepted His tshuva. All this, says the Shalah, is symbolically alluded to in David HaMelech in the 13th chapter of Tehillim, Ashir Hashem Ki Gamal Aloi. So we see that this connection with Gamal is a very sensitive one. It could go either way. You know, it could be heads or tails. It could be very dangerous. The Gamal might throw you, throw his rider off his back. And that's called Mizgalgel B'Gamal.
And why is that? Because the rider has violated that which the gamal, the beast, is very careful about, namely tzniut. And on the other hand, if the gamal is seen in a different light, if it shows up in a dream, or its letters, its vowels are reinterpreted to me gamal, not a gamal, but gamal, then it's ashir l'Hashem ki gamal aloi. It foretells of the process of tshuva, of mechila. If a person is sincere, then he could even nullify a death decree. If Hashem is gamal aloi, is merciful, and that too is inherent in the gamal. The gamal has a scary part to it, a shadowy part to it, a negative dark side to it. It's representative of a punishment to a person who really deserves to die. But on the other hand, gamal has a positive and bright side to it. The gamal is the representation of tshuva, of mechila, that Hashem will remove the gzeiras mavis. And here we go back to Perek Shira, in the fifth Perek, and we see what every creature in the created universe sings, what praise it sings to God. And the connection here is made between the Gamal and a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Chafhei, Hashem Mimarom Yishag, God lets out a cry from the heavens, Umimaon Kodsho Yitin Kolo. And from or concerning the Beis HaMikdash, he lets his voice be very loud. Sha'og yish'ag al nevehu. God cries out with relationship to Nevehu, with his beautiful city, his Beis HaMikdash. And somehow the Gamal is connected to this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's not too clear. We have the commentary of the Grach Kenevsky on this line in Perek Shira, and he in turn refers to the Radak and to the Mitsudos there in Yirmiyah, and they interpret the pasuk that Hashem is crying out about the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The decree of Churban was already signed and sealed, but in Medrash Rabbah, in Shmos, it says, Noeg Shabolam Basav Adam Hu Mevakesh Lahavi Ra Al Sono. A person wants to bring evil upon his enemy, Mevi Olav Adshalo Yargish Bo. So he tries to surprise and ambush his enemy and bring some evil upon him. He tricks him. He attacks him. HaKadosh Baruch, on the other hand, Hoya Masra, he warns before, he doesn't all of a sudden jump out of the darkness and surprise his enemy, ambushing him. God has vested interest in first notifying the sinner that he has done something that is very punishable. And why is that? Kadesha Yashuv Bo. Hashem wants to give this sinner a clue, a heads up, that his life is in the balance. He better do tshuva. Now, why the gamal? Why of all the animals, all creatures on the face of the earth, is the gamal singled out to represent this message that God warns his enemies before he takes revenge against them? So the Grach says the following, that other Bali Chayim, when they want to attack their enemy, they just scare them and ambush them out of nowhere in a very sudden sort of way. There's one animal, however, that doesn't behave in that pattern, and that is the gamal. The gamal has a different kind of a nature. Kisherotza lahakos hu tsoek tchila. The gamal lets out a cry before it attacks to forewarn its enemy that it's on the way to attack. And why? Because ze gorim shasheni yochel uvrach. Give the prey a chance to flee and protect himself. That's what the gamal is able to do. It's an amazing thing about the gamal. V'hu kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the gamal is singing the song of God, who's mimaron yishag, mimaon kodsho, Nimaon kodesho yiten kolo. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu machriz tchila. He lets out the clarion call. He warns the people. Kidei sheyuchlu loshuv, so they'll have an opportunity to do tshuva. He will announce the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash so that man will take the opportunity to do tshuva and perhaps undermine the gzeira. That is the nature of the Gamal. As we saw in the Gemara Brachos, the Gamal's message, if he shows up in a dream, is that yes, the decree is signed and sealed. God will destroy you. Your life is not worth much. But Hashem will save you because of your tshuva if you heed the warning. Heed the warning of the Gamal. Defeat these life-threatening forces of chet. Strengthen yourselves and the tov that's within you. Overcome the evil that's within you. That's what the Gamal is proclaiming. Just as Hashem wants to encourage His people to do tshuva before they're destroyed, so too the Gamal conveys this message: your life is in the balance. There are life-threatening forces here because of your chet. Get your act together. Pull it all together. Now's the time to do tshuva immediately. That's the symbol of the Gamal. And if that's the symbol of a Gamal, we begin to understand why the Gamal is going to play such a role here, as we said, the name of the Sukkachov, in getting Rivka out of Beis Besul and Lavan. There's a life-threatening situation here. As long as Rivka is connected with these forces of evil, her life, both physically and spiritually, is in danger. The Gamal is going to be the conduit to save Rivka from the clutches of chet, of her evil family members. And whose Gamal is it? It's the Gamal of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu wants to separate evil, weed it out, so that we can have pure good. Avram is going to be the tikkun of chet, and therefore his gamal is never going to be suspect, no way, no how, of stealing is taroves, of good and evil, irbuv, where you don't see the moral clarity, the vision that you have to have. Therefore Avram Avinu, he's going to be the one to send this message of the Gamal to separate Rivka from Besuel. And now at this point, I think we'd like to see the Nefesh HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin. In Shar Aleph, Reb Chaim speaks about this concept of Erbuvia. He speaks about the chet HaKadmon, the Nochash, Hitil Bazuama, at this episode of Eitz Hadas, May Oz, says the Nefesh HaChaim, Goram al Yidei Zeh Erbuvia Gedola, the Maisa Adam, Shekol Maisa Adam Heim Berbuvia, Vishtanus, Rabim Yod, there are different elements that vie for primacy in man's actions. Man's actions are pam tov upam ra, umishapich tomid mitov lera umira letov, because man is in this confused state in which both tov and ra have penetrated into his being. Before the chet, man was good. Evil, if it was at all in existence, was external. But now, as a result of chet, evil becomes internal. Man now becomes a complex duality, in which both good and evil are essential to his inner soul, his personality. They're vying, they're fighting for supremacy. And this, my friends, is the subject of Rabbi Simcha's discussion, his proposition in Parshas Vayishlach, to answer the question of why Yaakov Avinu, although he had Gmalim when he came back and he met Esav, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayishlach when he returns from Beis Lavan, where he spent a long, long period of time. Vayhili shar v'chamar, tzon v'yeved v'shivcha. And why doesn't he mention a gomel? Later on it says a sagbalin. In this discussion, in which Yaakov pronounces in the presence of Esav his successful Hatzalah, if you will, that he survived all these years in Lavan's house. Again, we saw that Lavan represents, personifies evil. We got to get Rivka out of there, and ultimately we have to get Yaakov out of there. And Yaakov tells Esav that Yaakov, succeeded. He's still im Lavan garti v'tayig mitzvah shamati. He's still stark. He's still pure. He hasn't been influenced and taken down by Lavan. And he mentions the shor v'chamor, the ox and the donkey. No mention of the gamal. Says the Meshech Chochmah, ki Elokim asa asa adam yashar. God created man straight, good. But Hema Bikshu Chaz bonus Rab, man brings evil upon himself and into himself. Ki Tchilas Abriya, in the original form of creation, Haya Ki Yata Asma Litzada Tov, Tamid, man would always incline himself towards good because that was man's essence. Raka Yetzer Rahu Mesis Bifnei Atzmo, the power and the allurement of the Yetzer Hara was external to man. But Kasher Omnam Kasher Bo Nochash Al Chava. Nochash apparently had some sort of relationship with Chava, according to the Medrash. You remember that? The Hito Ba Zuama Nis Arvavu Hatov Hara Bo Biatzmo. Within man himself, there was a combination, a mixture of both Tov and Ra. And he quotes Targum Unkelus, Minei Lemeida Tavu Bish. Now, as a result of the act of the Nochash, that process of seduction, man eats from the Eitz. He's a different person. He's transformed. He's no longer that good individual that's always inclined towards good. He now has a battle within him. Man, and this is true throughout the history of civilization, man is constantly in a tug of war, in a battle between good and evil. And unfortunately, tragically, all too often, the evil side gets the best of man. And then the Jews, of course, get the brunt of it. Says the Meshech Chochmah, Gimel Ha'avos Biru V'zikiku. There was a process of Birur, of zikuk, of purification, of separation of good from evil. Ki me'avram yotza Yishmael. At the time of Avram, the process of birur was not complete. Avram has a tzad hatov, and that expresses itself in the birth of Yitzchak, and a tzad lehepuch in the birth of Yishmael. The Yitzchak, Esav. Someone such a rasha like Esav is born to Yitzchak, because we're still in the state before birur, before Zikuk. When does Bir and Zikuk bring this nation of God back to the state of Adam Rishon Kodem Lachein Asher Bo Yaakov for him Itaso Shlema? There was no mixture of evil. Kida Omar Omru Zal B'Shabbos the Etzem Nefesh HaYisraeli Nota L'Tov, the essential personality of the soul of the Jew is like that of man before the chait. He's no tilitov. There are external factors that allure him, pressures that bring him to vitiate his tov, to really undo his own personality, his own essence, his own soul. So arsha beisav shibud malchios ma'akev al yodo. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, I believe, that there are external pressures of evil inclination of the nations that subjugate the Jews and don't allow them to implement their religion. The Lachain Mahani Kfiya B'mitzi quotes the famous Rambam in the third parak of Gerushin. We beat up the guy until he says Rotzani, because essentially man is great, man is good. We may need to beat up the Yetzer Hara in order to get that good to come to the fore and express itself. V'harahu inyan b'fnei atzmo, but evil is external to man, to the Jew, in the post Yaakov Avinu period. Lokeis of a chaverov umas olam. In contrast, Esav remains in the state of liacharachet of irbuvia. The umas olam represent the concept of nafsham ivsa ra, that their very essence clings, is attracted, is gravitationally pulled to evil. For lachen, therefore, chashudim al arvia. We even suspect them of sodomy. Kid omru bereish ein ma'amidim, as the Gemara establishes in Avodah Zarah. V'zehu she'sholach lo, and that's why Yaakov has to send a clear cut message to Esav. Im lavan garti, say chazal v'tarik mitzvah shamarti. I remain pure. I was not influenced by Lavan, who from the Umas Ha'olam has Ivsa Ra, is a connection to evil. Vayehili Shar v'chamar. What is Shar and what is Chamar? Shar on the one hand is a Behema Tahora. It has Simoni Tara. Chamar is Behema Tmeya. It doesn't have any Simoni Tara. And by bringing back the Shar and the Chamar, putting that Vav here between the two words as a Vav HaMachalik, to separate them, clearly this Shar and this Chamar. Ki HaTov Imara Nifradim Hema. This process of separation, which began again, the Bira process that was kicked off by Avram Avinu and went down to Yitzchak, finally reaches its fruition when Yaakov comes, returns from Beis Lavan, and he says, there's the Chamar and here's the Shar. Don't confuse the two. Why does Gamal get left out over here? Veloki Gamal says the Meshechachma Sher Darshu Chazal B'Medrash Al Rivka on the Pasuk V'Tokam Naros Rivka V'Naroseh V'Tirkavna Al Agmalim Ma Gamal Yeshlo Siman Tuma V'Siman Tara. Let's read the Medrash Rab inside. On Rabbi Levi. Shekein derech hagmalim gedelim b'mizrach. At that part of the world, let's say somewhere near Bavel, there is a large multitude of camels to be had. And therefore, Rivka and her naros were riding on camels. That's the first opinion of Reb Levi. It's more of a, shall we say, a geographic or, geographic magazine kind of insight. But Rabbanan Amri, why Gmalim? Ma Gamal Zeh Yesh Bo Siman Tuma V'Siman Tara. The Gamal represents the marriage between Rivka and Yitzchak, because the Gamal has within it both Simani Tuma and Simani Tara. The Bira process has not been successful with regard to the Gamal. The Gamal represents the Erbuvia. It's got some very good midos, but it's also got the Siman Tuma. Kache mida Rivka, tzadik v'rosh. From Rivka we get Esav, not just Yaakov. And the reason for that is because Rivka is before Yaakov, meaning before the period of total birur and zichuch. There's not pure Tara. There's a mixture, they had mixture in the Bruvia of Tara and Tuma, and that's represented by the Gomel. Now we have a whole new concept that's alluded to, that's symbolically represented by the Gomel. We were talking about the Gomel in terms of the optimistic message inherent in the Gomel when he shows up in a dream, in a vision, that you and your tshuva process being acceptable was spared from destruction. But you say, Rabosai, even within the context of the Gemara Brachos, you see that Gamal, as we said, is complicated. It's got both elements. It's got Misa Niknas Olam HaShamayim. It tells you about the before, evil is about to befall you. It's the animal that shoves its rider, ejects its rider, if its rider is guilty of sin, but also has the Tzad Hatov, the optimistic side of it. Hitzilohu Mimenu. It was the message to David HaMelech that his tshuva was accepted. Says the Meshech Chochma, V'chein Esav hu chazir ayar. Why is the chazir the representation of Esav? Ki Esav b'midrash chazir ze adom? Edom? She'etzlo mu'urav ha'sitra de'tara de'tuma ima simon tara. The simonim of the chamar really confuse us, because the Chamar has a Siman Tara, but it's also got a Siman Tuma. It doesn't re-chew its cud. And that is Esav. Esav represents, personifies, the taroves of good and evil all mixed up. He's the chazir that has on the one hand a simon tara, on the other hand a simon tuma. And in the Brisa, in the 13th parak of Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, there's a connection between Samael, who is the sar of evil, and the Nachash, who represents evil down on earth, and the Gamal, because again the Gamal has within him a Simon Tuma. And even though he also has a Simon Tara, there's still this Irbuvia, this Mishka Babalt, and that's what creates all these difficult issues that are going to plague the people of Israel throughout all their history, because Esav and Yishmael represent the Irbuvia before the Bira process is complete. And let us conclude with a chassidish avart from the Noam Elimelech. This is in Parshas Vayeshev. He writes, V'nira dehine kol davar sha'adam rotzel shaber kocha. Whenever a person wants to destroy the power of some inclination towards evil, tzarech l'shabro b'kid dugmasa. You have to find something that is similar and use that similarity to break up that anti-koach and to personify, to reflect this idea and demonstrate it. He quotes our parsha, ma'asa. What did Eliezer do? Well, let's go back to Avram first. Omar Eliezer, he told Eliezer, Asher lo tikach isho libni mibnos Kenan. The Bnos Kenan represent this concept that we said before of Irbuvia. Therefore, stay away from Bnos Kenan. Fight against, undermine the Bnos Kenan, meaning the symbolic, conceptual representation of Bnos Kenan. And who does Avram choose to break up the power of Bnos Kenan? Mipnei Eliezer haya Eved Kenan, since Eliezer came from Kenan, he can destroy Kenan. Haya Rotz Avram Shemehem Atzmam Yishbar's Kocham. From this Kenani, there will be a destruction of the power of Kenanim. Daniel Eliezer Shayu Miknan Yishbar, who is Kenan. Vayikach Eliezer Asar Gmalim V'Chol Tov Adonav Biyodo. He says, based on the Gemara in Brachos, that Haro Gamal B'Chalom Misan Gzera Nigzer Olav V'Nitzolav Imenu L'Chor Yeshlit Ein Tam Lama Be'emes Re'iyas HaGomu B'Chalom Yirmos HaTzolav Imisa. What's inherent in the Gamal that it serves as a hint, a symbol that man was saved from death? Nire Tehine B'Merkava Tmeahi Gamal. In truth, the Gamal is a non-kosher animal. But yet, there is something kosher about the Gamal. The Gamal does have a tzada tov to it. Isn't that correct? And here the Rebbe Elimelech sees in the Gamal a whole new symbolism, because Gimel Mem Lamed is also a word which means Gemilus Chasodim. Gamal hu loshin gomel d'hainu Gemilus Chasodim. Hainu shal yidei Gemilus Chesed hu mishaber koach ha-gamal shal ma'kovet etumah. When we talk about Tmeya and the Simon Tuma of the Gamal, the Irbuvia that represents Canaan, which is being battled now on the stage here of the marriage of Rivka to Yitzchak, that element of evil is the antithesis, is the exact opposite of Gemilus Chasodim. It's the selfishness and the self-centered and the desire for myself, a passion for myself, fulfill all my desires. And the Gamal is going to break that up, because the Gamal symbolically represents Gemilus Chasodim. It's the Chesed that undermines the root of all evil, namely the selfishness of a person. So it's the Simon Tahara of the Gamal that's going to knock off the Simon Tuma that it itself has. V'zeu shemarin lo b'chalom Gamal. Why do they show him in his vision, in his dream, a Gamal? Remez ramzu lo shal yidei gemilas chesed yishaber koach ha-gamal misitra acher v'nitzol mimisa. Is therefore zeu v'yikach asor gamalim. He takes 10 gamalim. That ribui represents the mitzvah of gemilas chasodim that should be done in Ravchus, in Midah Tova. Ratzalomar Gmalim Aynu Gemilus Chasodim Shal Adonov. He carries with him Eliezer the message with these Asar Gmalim, the message of Chasodim. Gamal Miloshon Gemilus Chasodim. Vezeu Migmale Adonov. V'chol tuv Adonov biyodo ratzalomar kol amasim tovim shal Adonov lokach biyodo kidei lishbar es kocho shal knah. It's absolutely fascinating that it is Avram Avinu who personifies the midah of chesed gvius chasodin, and his animal over and over again throughout these parashios is the gomel. It's the gomel of chesed, the gomel that represents the tara part of man, the process of birur that begins with Avram. And that process had to be taken to the next stage, the next level, when it comes to Yitzchak and Rivka. And in order to do so, we have to battle against Knan. Knan represents the Siman Tuma, which is antithetical to Gemilas Chasodim. It's Gemilas Chasodim that is going to overpower Knan. It's the Gemalim that represent the victorious battle of the Siman Tara over the Siman Tuma, the subjugation of evil through the power of Gemilas Chasodim. It's the Gamal that represents Tshuva Chesed, the Gamal that represents Hitzilu Mimena, that Hashem spares us from Chas V'Sholem, any Gzera, any Knas of Misa. It's the Gamal of the Chesed that in Pirkei Shira is identified with the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that lavishes praise upon Hashem because He warns man before punishes meeting it out. Take the time to do tshuva. Tshuva is the midah of chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to accept that tshuva. And if we appreciate so many different dimensions, just in this one facet of Gamal, we started with the Sokachov, but we went on. We see how Avram is fighting against Gezel, which is Irbuvia. The whole process of creating the chain, the glorious chain of Knesset Yisrael, Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, is all a process of birur, of undermining those simonei tuma that resulted from the chet hakadmon, the erbuvia that was generated when Nachash entered into Chava, when evil from the outside, external, now became internal. But the process of creating Knesset Yisrael, the process of purification of birur that begins with Avram, begins with his mama of the Gemalim, as Rashi would have it, begins with taking all Avram Avinu's chesed and bringing it down to undermine Knan through the shlichus of Eliezer, who's going to take Rivka and save her from the clutches of evil, to establish a birur that ultimately will reach its fruition at the time of Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu is mitoso shlema, when he produces the Yud Beis Shvatim, and now the Ra, the evil, again becomes external to the Jew. The Jew and his Nefesh now becomes pure and good. And therefore, we may have to fight this battle to bring out that goodness that's within us. We have to defeat all those external pressures of the Se'ar Shavi'isa, the Shivat Malchus, but essentially, in our very essence, our personality, we are the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Bnei Avos V'Imos. We've come from people who have worked so hard with Asar Nisyonos, with Gemilas Chasod, to be Mevarer and separate the Shor on the one hand from the Chamor on the other hand. And hopefully, the messages that Hashem will send us will be those optimistic messages that He has showered upon us for all these times of chesed, of accepting at tshuva. We are part of the process of Tara. May God grant us the ability and the strength to succeed, to give us the energy and the insight to continue to be like Avram Avinu, to make sure we take precautions, to be like those tzaddikim u'mashbiyim es Yitzram, to be zomeim the tzad harashabo, the gezel and the erbuvyashabo, and then we know for sure, with that achievement of Tara and Shuvah, Hashem will grant us a re-experiencing the Shechina, the true Geula, at the time that Hashem will rebuild the destroyed Migdash. B'mheirav Yomeinu, Amen.